As you know, I'm sure you've all been here over the last few weeks. Why do they leave? We're looking at this week, we've looked at why they come, why they pray, why do they get baptized, why do they do miracles, why do they teach, why do they heal, why do they die, and why do they rise. And now we're going to look at why did he leave. Now, I don't know that there's that much to say about this. And I've been struggling. So I've found a few things. I don't know which button to press. Is it that one? Does anybody know? Say that again. I need that spell, right? Okay. Right one. There we go. So, first of all, I thought about, why did he leave? Well, he's wanting to go back to where he came from. He was originally with the Father in heaven, and that's where he wanted to... I've lost one of my sheets, I think. That's where he wanted to go back to, I think. So after he came here and his work was done, that's a kind of natural progression that he was... It says in John 1, verse 1, that he was in the beginning, he was with the Father. So before he came to the earth, he was with him. And John 1 says, in the beginning, the world already existed. The Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. So it's a natural progression to, once you've, I know that, that's what I want to do when I go out and go to work. I want to do my work for the day, and then I want to go home, back where I belong. And so I think that's one reason for why he would leave after he died and rose again and appeared to the disciples, that he would go back to be with his Father. And I can't remember who spoke and why did he die. But when he was on the cross, he was separated from God on that cross. It says in Mark 15:33, at noon darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. And it was maybe, I think it was 3 hours of darkness was upon the earth, and that's when he was separated from God on that cross, when he bore the sins, our sins, all the sins of the whole world upon him, and he was on his own, and he was separated from his Father during that time. So he would long to be back with him, back in heaven, in his home where he belonged. He would long to be back there. After that time of separation, I'm sure it would have been much more painful to him to be separated from God and feel that kind of abandonment than it would be for the physical pain that he must have endured on the cross. Even we can't imagine what that pain would be like, but it must have been more of a pain for him to be separated, for him to then endure that on our behalf and for us. And in John 17, verse 5, I think it's verse 5. Wrote in 55 on here, but it says 5 up there, so I don't know where it is. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. And that's after he died in John 17. And he wants to be back with his Father and be in that place of glory and perfection where he was before the world began, before it all started. And that's where he wanted to be back with his Father. The next thing I thought about was the Holy Spirit coming. And he said that in John 14, he said, I'm not going to leave you on your own. I'm not going to leave you abandoned. The Father is going to send a counselor, a comforter, someone who would be with us and that would be with us every day of our lives. In John 14, 16 and 17, it says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, and he leads into all truth. And that's a massive comfort to us and to the disciples, as they were obviously feeling that Jesus has told them that he's going away and he's going to leave. He's going to go back to be in heaven with his Father, that, oh no, we're going to be on our own here. And that must have been a bit of a shock for them, I don't know, but just a massive worry is that we're going to be on our own. How are we going to cope? What are we going to do? And They've already been through their struggles where Peter's denied Jesus. Well, Jesus is still here and he's denied him because of the pressure he's getting from the crowd and whatnot. And it's a massive comfort to the disciples and to us and to all those who believe in Jesus and have put their trust in Jesus, that we'll have that Holy Spirit, that we'll have that comforter and that counsellor and that person that's going to encourage us and keep us going. So that's really great for all of us who are believers. And that Holy Spirit that comes to live within us teaches us and reminds us of what Jesus taught. And it says in John 14:26, "But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you." And it's great to have that Holy Spirit. I don't feel comfortable up here. I don't know if any of you have noticed that. this is not a place of comfort for me, and I'm out with that comfort zone. But the Holy Spirit is with us and with me, and I thank the Father for that he sent the Holy Spirit, and that he'll try and make sense to you. The words that are coming out of my mouth are not from me, that the Holy Spirit will work on those words and he'll make them understandable to you, and maybe hopefully you'll take something from what I'm saying. But it's not me that's saying it. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing that teaching and bringing out those words and making them affect you in various ways and making you think about them. And in John 16:8, it says, "And when comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment." So the Holy Spirit, even if you're not a believer yet, the Holy Spirit's working. And if you're this morning not saved and you're in this room and you're listening to these words, the Holy Spirit will be using these words and using them to work in your mind, and as it says there, convict the world of its sin, and that means to make you realise that you're a sinner and that your past life, that your life you've led up until now is not the right one, and you've been doing wrong things and whatnot, and we all have been there and all have done that, and we all still do wrong things even once we are saved, because we're not perfect. And the Holy Spirit is there to help us and to work with us. It helps us to realise God's righteousness and that target that we've got to achieve and how we've got to live our lives. And the Holy Spirit works with us on that. The next one I thought about was, Jesus is away, but he's left us to occupy the world till he returns. And he gave a few commandments and a couple of instructions and gave us a few pointers to go in the right way. And John 15:17, it says, "This is my command, love one another." And it's great to see everyone in here and everyone loves one another and we try and get on well. And even though we're of different personalities and from different backgrounds, we work together and we become a team and we try and achieve what we're trying to achieve. And although the world doesn't seem to be of that persuasion at the moment, that there's wars going on and this guy, the guy in Japan or wherever he's from, or North Korea or wherever he's from, setting off these bombs and all that, and it's just doesn't seem like we're loving one another, but the Father left that command, or Jesus left that command before he left, "I want you to love one another." So we as Christians, that's our number one thing that we try and do, is we love one another, and not just one another in here and this kind of townhead family that we're part of, but to love one another out there and out in the community, and to talk to each other and show kindness to everyone. And it's why we bring this message. Mark 16:15, says he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. And once we become Christians, once we acknowledge that we're sinners, that we've been wrong up until now, that the hope we ask for forgiveness and the Holy Spirit to come and live within us, and he convicts us of the sin and God's righteousness, that's then the next goal, is that we love one another. But then we have to spread that love. We have to go out into all the world, but out into all the world, maybe not going abroad, or maybe just speaking to your next door neighbour and telling them God loves you. And although that we're in this place that doesn't seem like there's much love, there is love, and God loves you, and he wants you to be part of his family, and we love you, and we want you to be part of our family and here, and part of Jesus' family. And I've put family service there, and that's why we have this service. It's to spread the good news, to tell everybody that Jesus came to the world, and that's why we've done this whole session, that he's come, and he's, why did he do these various things while he was here, and why did he die, and why did he then rise, and why has he left? And it's to tell you about that, and that's why we have various events that we do have out in the community, that we try and spread that good news to as many people as we can, and to our local community where we live, and the people that we love in our local area. The next thing I thought of was, he's went away. He couldn't stay here because he needed to prepare a place for us. He's asked us to follow him and to love one another and ask for forgiveness for our sins, and then he's asking us to follow him and live for him and give up our lives for him. So he said, well, I'm gonna get somewhere ready for you. And in John 14 and verse 2, says, there is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you'll always be with me where I am. And that's a massive encouragement to us all, that Jesus is going to come back again, and he's away preparing a place for us. And when it's ready, when the time is right, and God decides now is the time, then he's going to take us to be with him, and that we will be with Jesus once again. So it's not a separation we've got. We've got the Holy Spirit just now, while Jesus is away preparing that place for us. And it'll be fantastic when he says the time's ready, and it's time to go and be with him. And that's of great joy as we look forward to that time. For those who are saved, that he's going to say, right, the time is ready. I've got the mansion ready, and there's plenty of space, plenty of rooms for us all, and we're going to be called there. And then my next point was, so he can come again. It kind of leads on that he's away to get everything ready for us, and when everything is ready, he's going to come and get us. So he's going to come back again. So he's left. But he's left to come back. 1 Thessalonians, I hope I've got that one written down, yes I do. Chapter 4, verses 16, it says, together with them, we who are still alive and remain in the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. And that sounds pretty amazing. Rudy's always talking about buzzing Woody flying in the air, and he thinks that's fantastic. It's fantastic to fly, but it'll be fantastic if we're still alive when the Lord says it's time and everything's ready to meet him in the air. That'll be amazing for those of us who have acknowledged that we're sinners and that have asked for forgiveness of the Lord Jesus and now follow him, that he's going to say, right, the time is ready, and we can go and be caught up, as it says, and we'll fly through the air, through the clouds, and meet him in the sky, and that'll be fantastic. And that kind of leads on to the next one, where at that point there will be a time of judgment. While we're here on earth, the Holy Spirit is convicting us of our sin and showing us God's righteousness. But that time of judgment will come when he has said, right, everything's ready. I'm ready to open the mansions up in heaven. But those who are believers of us who are believers, that'll be fantastic, and we'll go to live with Jesus and God in heaven. That'll be amazing. But there's this time, this period on while we're here, and that God hasn't come back yet, that you need to make a decision on what you're going to do and whether you're going to follow him and whether you're going to ask for forgiveness and realize that you're a sinner. And we all know what that means. If you leave that go, he might come back at any point, and we don't know when that will be. We don't know when he's going to say, right, time's ready, I've got everything sorted. Someone will soon tell you it takes me forever to get whatever ready in the house, and I'm never ready to get the decorator in, to get the painting done, or to get the carpet done. And you never know. He's probably better than me, I would imagine. So he's going to come back and say everything's ready, and it'll probably be before we think it's time. We need to make sure that we're ready for him coming. And he'll rid the world of sin once and for all. He's tried to do it for us before and make an easier way out with Noah and the ark and various other things, and then starting again for the Israelites going to the promised land. But we messed it up every time, and he decided enough is enough, and that's why I had to send Jesus. That's why I had to send Jesus here to die and to conquer sin once and for all. And finally, I think this is finally, yes. He wants to enjoy a relationship with us. And that's why he went to the bother and the hassle of coming here. Because I think it was a lot for him to do and a lot for him to give up. We've already thought about him being in heaven with God and in all that glory. And he was desperate to get back there and be back beside his Father in heaven. But he went to that hassle and that pain and that separation because he wants a relationship with us. So much so that he came and died for us. And that in itself is amazing. We're thinking about in the morning service this morning that act of actually going through with that is amazing. And we look at that and we're in awe of that. But we should be in awe of the person that actually went through with it. And he died for us. And what does that signify? It signifies that he does really love us. Because would you die for someone just out in the street? Maybe not. Would you die for someone that you love? Possibly. So Jesus came and died for us because he loved us so much, and he wants that relationship with us. He had that relationship in the very beginning with Adam and Eve, and he came down in the cool of the evening and spent time with them and had a relationship with them, and he has a desire to get that back and have that relationship with us again. And he went to all that trouble, and he came and showed us that he loves us so much that he died for us. So we can have that relationship with him here on earth. And we've got the Holy Spirit with us to help us with that, and praying and reading our Bible, and we enjoy the songs of worship and praise. We can sing to him anytime. We don't need to wait for a Sunday morning. Although it's great to sing as a family in here, and it's amazing to have that time of praise and worship as a group. But you can sing to him anytime. And the same as reading your Bible and praying, you can take that upon you any time and pray to him and speak to him at any time that you please, so that you can have that relationship with him, and Christ and the Father in heaven will really enjoy that and take much pleasure from that and having that relationship with you. And then one day, as we've already looked at, we'll have a relationship with him in heaven, and that'll be just absolutely fantastic, I'm sure. We'll look forward to it immensely, especially as we get more and more worried about our the current situation in, on earth and how things seem to be getting, even just in my lifetime, I can see that things are getting worse and they're not going a good way and that we're messing up again. But Jesus came for us. That's the good news of this morning, that Jesus has come for us and that he's died for us and that we can be saved from that. So, Jesus, why? I don't think everybody else will be pleased that I've summarised it in one slide. All the weeks that we've been looking at Jesus, why? Why did he come? So that he can ultimately die for us, which we've been thinking about specifically over the last 2 weeks. And he then did all these things while he was here: pray, get baptised, do miracles, teach, heal. And that's as an example for us to follow. When we decide that we are sinners and we acknowledge that and we realise that, we can then follow Jesus and we can use that example that he gave. And it's all in here. All these things and everything that I've said this morning is in here. And all these examples and life lessons and the way that we should live our lives is a real benefit and gives us a step for a hint of where we're supposed to go and how we're supposed to do things. And if we read that Bible and pray and ask for help and we depend on the Holy Spirit to get through these things, we can live alongside Jesus and we have him in our lives and we have him with us all the time, and he can help us overcome anything that we might come across in life. And then he died so that we can be saved, because he had to die. I'm sure whoever spoke about that would have mentioned that he had to die. That's the only way that sin could be overcome. He had to die. And I'm sure he, in the Garden of Gethsemane, was asking, you know, if there's any other way, then please. But he realised and he knew in his heart of hearts that there wasn't. That the only way to overcome sin and for us to be forgiven was that he had to die. And now we can be saved and we can have a relationship with him. And he rose to overcome sin, and that was a massive thing, and it signifies that he's beaten death and sin, and he rose again and overcame that. And then leave so that we can be with him in heaven. He had to leave so that he could come back and be with us and call us to be with him when all things are ready. Thank you for listening. Just have a word of prayer before we finish. Father, we come before you again and we thank you for this time that we can spend in your presence. And we thank you for this message. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and all that he means to each one of us and all that he has done for us. Father, we thank you that he came. That we would be helpless here if he hadn't. And Father, we just thank you that he came and he lived that perfect life and he done all the things that he done while he was here, like pray and teach and do miracles, and that is an awesome example for us to look up to and to follow and to try and live our lives by. And we thank you that he ultimately died and he went through with it, Father, that he had the love for us to go through with it and to die for us and to take on that pain of the cross, that physical pain, but also the pain of being abandoned and separated from you while he was on the cross, Father. And we thank you that he defeated death and he rose from the grave and that he overcame sin. And Father, that gives us the opportunity to ask him for forgiveness for our sins and to be forgiven by him, and then to follow him, Father, and to live a life that is alongside him, that is pleasing to him, Father, and that is a real blessing to us. And Father, we just thank you for him. We thank you that he did go, even though the disciples at the time couldn't understand and didn't want him to go. We thank you that he did leave, and that it's of more benefit for us for him to leave, and then he can go and prepare that place for us. And we thank you that he sent the Holy Spirit, Father, that we have the Holy Spirit to live within us, so that we're not abandoned and we're not alone. That Jesus sent that counselor, that comforter, that encourager in his place to be with us and to live inside us and to help us through everything, Father, and to help us overcome and to everything that we might face in life. And Father, we really thank you for the Holy Spirit, and we thank you that he will come again, Father, and that those who are believers, who do believe that Jesus died for them and can forgive their sins, that he will call us back to be with him once again, and that will be an amazing thing. And we just, Father, thank you for all these things. We ask your blessing on the message, and we just ask that it would really touch each of our hearts this morning as we leave this place and consider it and think upon it and dwell upon it, Father. We just ask that it would really speak to our lives and our hearts and our minds. Father, we thank you for Jesus again. In his name we pray. Amen.